Is it on now? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get my eyeballs. We got a big crowd tonight. I love it. I love it. Because it's a long message and it might take a couple of hours. So I want y'all to be ready. Oh, yeah, y'all get comfortable. I got to. Good. Good deal. Good deal. Well, first thing I want to do, I've got a little story I want to tell. And no, it's not. That's a dangerous thing to do. I've done that too many times. I just now got the bruises healed up from last time I talked about it. Oh. Anyway, so I didn't want to look bad up here with bruises all over me. My story, and you might recognize it, I don't know, but it starts off that once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a place that existed, a perfect place. Only two people lived in this perfect place. Y'all want me to tell the rest of it? I might cry through it, but I'll get through it. I'm going to tell it anyway, whether you want to hear it or not. Because they told me I could tonight. I'm in charge. You know, that's another thing. This is another story. I'm in the bus barn, you know, and every time I leave out the door, I'll say, okay, I'm leaving to go to the bus. You're in charge. And I pick a different one every time, you know. So keeps them on their toes, keeps their attention. So, but tonight I'm in charge, so I can do whatever I want to do. This story, it goes with my message, so don't worry. I'm not going to be off track too far. It's only about four pages of this and then the rest of it. Anyway, at least that's the way I see it. All right, the story goes, there's this place, very nice, perfect place. Two people reside in this place. And since Sister North sang that song so eloquently, I'll say that there was a king that presided over this place. Let's say, and allowed these people to stay in this place. And the only criteria he had was you have to obey everything the king says. There's only one item on the not-to-do list. That one thing was, don't touch a certain thing. That's easy enough, right? Anybody could do that. I might could do that. Turns out it was much harder for these people than they thought. Well, what happened? Not just one of them got in trouble for touching, both of them did. So now, the big guy got upset. The king was upset. I think that's a good word to say. He was probably upset. He knew he had to change things. Then, from now on, the place where the people lived would be a much harder place. The woman would have certain harder things happen in her life, and the man too. He had to work harder. He couldn't just walk around all day looking at the pretty flowers and everything be like, you know, coming up daisies. So, if they had obeyed, though, obeyed, Brandon was talking about when he had a problem, what'd he do? He didn't get mad, upset, because asphalt wasn't going right. He called two people that he knew would pray. He obeyed what God told him to do. Well, if these two people had obeyed, all things might have continued to be just peachy dandy, as they say. But by their disobedience, their lives weren't only harder, but all the people that came after them. There was a lot of people. All the people that came after them had a tough time also because of two people's disobedience. So for thousands of years, not just a little bit of time, for thousands of years after that touching incident, don't touch it, but you know, you just had to. But their lives could have been different. In fact, the king was so upset with all this disobedience, even with the people that came after, they kept disobeying. They knew to obey. They'd already seen what happened when they didn't obey. They knew about it. They still disobeyed. So, what's he going to do? He's in control of every water spigot in the whole place. So he opens them all up. Going to flood this thing out. Nobody's good enough. Going to flood it out. There were several people, however. They got wind of this, that something's going wrong, and I know something's going to happen. I've heard about a flood. We're building a boat. So some of them built a boat in preparation. They listened a little bit instead of doing what their own thing. Well, fortunately for them, they were the only ones who came out on top in this. Everybody else perished. But they came out on top. They were allowed to take a few things along, family members, animals, stuff like that. Their lives, however, going forward, were not perfect because still had to obey on the other side of it. And the thing they had to obey in was sacrificing to the king to show that they loved the king, to show that they could obey. So the sacrifices went on for a long, long time. Until again one day, the king thought a change was needed. This system wasn't quite working out the way he thought it might in the first place. So instead of having constant sacrifices, daily, yearly, for the people to show allegiance to the king, he thought, I need a one-time sacrifice, a one-time thing. It's going to be good enough. Everybody can appreciate it. It'll be the ultimate sacrifice. It'll be better than the blood of a few goats and a few coins, which they had been doing. The new sacrifice had to be something worth much more than that. It had to be perfect. The king had one perfect thing, because this needed to be a once and for all occurrence. This was arranged and carried out. His original plan had been carried out. And he thought, it's a good plan. Perfect place. The difference being this time, the sacrifice wasn't animals. It was a human. Because this was going to be the final time. And this was going to be worth more than any sacrifice that had ever gone before. This was the people's last chance to do the right thing. You know that thing they didn't do in the first place? The right thing. The thing they'd been told to do, and the thing that they did that they were told not to. Does that sound familiar? It does to me, because I do that. I don't know if any of the rest of you are like that. This new sacrifice would be good for how long? Eternity. That's longer than I can ever imagine. That's forever, and I can't imagine tomorrow almost, but that's forever, eternity. To acquire the benefits of the new sacrifice required but one thing on the people's part. Guess what that was? Obedience. But it was their choice. It was their choice. Just as they had in the beginning, just as earlier in the story, they had to obey. They had to obey everything. All that the king required, is all. That's all it'd take. They could enjoy a good life. Great life. Now I know this little yarn here is just silly, maybe. And you know what I'm talking about. But that's what the Lord impressed on me when I first thought about this message was that story. And I do have scripture, by the way, if you were if you were wondering about that. And I know our pastor Sunday, he had lots of scriptures. Man, I don't have that many. He had 8 or 9. I only have about 3. But he's always prepared, so, you know, always prepared. So we can turn to Genesis. Let's turn there, chapter 8. If we start at verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is after he got off the boat. First thing he did, he got off the boat. Hadn't seen land in a long time after the flood. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Verse 22, most important out of this section of scripture. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, whew, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. The title of my message is, of course, Seed Time and Harvest. And where's the tissues at? Anyway, all right. Seed time and harvest. It says, while the earth remains. That's forever. That's final. That's from now on, let's say. You say out on the farm, that's from now on. As long as your time is on earth, there will be seed time and harvest. After you're gone from this earth, Brother Charlie, after we're gone, we're old. We're not going to be here forever. This place, someday we'll be gone. Some of the rest of them will be left. There'll still be seed time and harvest. Because every action that you take and all the words that you speak out of your mouth are seeds that are planted to those around you. I know we like to say that if Adam and Eve had done different, that things would have been different for us. Oh, life would have been great if they had never reached up there and got that fruit. I don't know how many times I've said that or heard somebody say that. And they know. They know that if they were there, standing in the garden that day, they would have done the same thing. Done the same thing. I probably would have, because I'm not that good with things. So maybe somebody would have said, no, we don't need to do that. But if you put yourself there, you'd have probably done that or worse. Because as the word says in verse 21, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never curse the ground again, although the imagination of man's heart is continually evil. Woo! That's pretty harsh. Man's heart is continually evil. He gave him one chance. Things would have been better. One way of working hard to do good in this world is planting seeds. That's just one way to do it. Planting seeds is the only way you're going to ever have a harvest. Can't have a harvest of any kind unless you plant seeds. Doesn't matter if it's natural seeds or if it's words you say to somebody or actions you do. What comes out on the other side of it will be good or bad according to what kind of seeds you have. Planting seeds is the only way to achieve a harvest. If a seed does not go in the ground, I didn't say any kind of ground, just ground. If seed doesn't go into the ground, nothing's going to come up. If you don't ever plant, you see somebody and you think, I ain't even going to talk to Brandon. He ain't even worth talking to. I don't just go around him. I don't even like him. If I don't plant any seeds in his life, what's he going to think? What's he going to do? Say he doesn't know the Lord. Say he needs Jesus. If I don't ever plant seeds, good seeds, then I'm not doing my job. Different seeds produce different harvests. You plant seeds according to what kind of harvest you want. And you don't complain about your harvest when you don't plant good seeds and you don't work the ground right. That's what I was just talking about. Imagine that. This works the same with planting seeds of the gospel. Every action that you take, every word that you speak, as I said, is a seed. And it falls somewhere. Be careful what you say. Tony could be way back there and he could hear me say, "That Tony guy, I don't know about Tony, you know." He could hear me, you know. So I don't talk about him. He's got good ears. So you start with the good seeds, good words and actions, and you plant them because all of us need Jesus. And as we know, even though some seeds might not go into good ground, what's the word say? If you don't sow, you don't reap. You got to sow first. Now, I know this might seem kind of boring, but I tell you what, we all think we know what God requires of us. Woo, that's funny to me because I've said that before. I know exactly what God wants me to do. I don't have a clue, Brother Brandon. Sometimes I don't. Yeah, but we all think we do. Do we really know? I'm just of the persuasion that nothing that this book says is boring, no matter how many times you hear it, no matter how many times we talk about the seed that we plant. We've heard that over and over again. But that's what the Lord gave me tonight, and I'm sorry, that's what you're going to hear. seeds, natural seeds are usually cheap to buy. I've seen people at Walmart, they look into these different seeds, and you can buy a bunch of seeds for, you know, a couple of dollars. And by the time you plant all of them, you're going to have a big harvest. So they're cheap to buy. Natural seeds are. Seeds of the gospel are cheap, too. All you got to do is read the book. That's where the seeds are. You're not going to go broke buying seeds out of this book. You know. Woo. It doesn't take any money to do that. Pick up the Bible and look at it. Go to the Word. I heard this Sunday that this guy right here, Brother Hall, I don't remember his name. That's how crazy I am. I'm 75 years old now. If Lydia was here, she'd agree with me, so. You go to the Word, you pray, and brother, you meditate on it. I heard that Sunday. You meditate on it. You pick up some seeds and you go to work. Now, this message, it's really necessary for me. I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot out of it. Sometimes I fail miserably at planting seeds. Ask Brother Tony. He knows. He's seen me do it sometimes. He's nice enough he didn't say anything about it, but yeah. You know, I fail at planting seeds, and I wonder, Why is this world so daggum crazy? Why are people so crazy around me? Why doesn't everything go better for me? Well, maybe it'd be better if I planted the right seeds. You think? I'm telling you. That goes for y'all too. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean to you. Because if a lot of folks planted more seeds, then maybe the world would change. Maybe it wouldn't be like it always is. You think it always is. Maybe it'd be better. Brother North, last week, where you at, Brother North? You back there? He left, didn't he? Anyway, Brother North schooled us last week on the body and how it's made up of different parts. Every part's important. There you are, brother. Sorry, I wasn't trying to call you out. I'm going to tell them how good you was last week. I enjoyed that message. Body made up of many parts, all of them important, all of them doing different things. Is that right? The foot not doing the same thing the hand's doing. The head's not doing the same thing the ankle's doing. But all of them working together to get the job done. And what I'm going to say now is, do your part. Amen. Plant some seeds. First, you got to plow the ground. You can throw them on top of the ground, but it's not the best way. You plow the ground first, get it prepared, plant the seeds, and then you water the heck out of it. And you keep watering it. You keep coming back and watering it. You don't just water it one time, leave it, and you can't just plant seed and you walk away and then, okay, I've done my part. Then, you know, expect the harvest. You got to care for them a little bit after they come up. You don't give up because sometimes there's not a harvest and because it's not what you want. Remember what it said? As long as the earth remains, there'll be time. If you can't plant them today, plan on planting them tomorrow. There'll always be ample opportunity to plant a seed. Never run out of time to plant a seed. It's never a bad time. As they say that Rome wasn't built in a day, you can plant every seed you got. And there'll still be many, many more you could plant the next day. Never stop planting seeds. That's a directive straight out of the Word, so it has to be pretty important, Brother Brandon. I found it in here, so it's got to be important. As long as the earth remains is what it says. That's forever. Now, a body, if it's out there every day, we're talking about the body of Christ, or your body, either one. A body that's out there every day doing the will be strong in faith and strong in spirit. You and everybody you meet will be better off if you're planting seeds of hope, promise, peace, and not seeds of division or hate. And I see some of those. I see them where I work. I see them other places too. Seeds of division and hate. And it just hurts your heart. Don't buy into bad seeds and don't buy bad seeds. Do not buy into things that are not of God. I'm talking to myself before I'm talking to any of y'all. Y'all know that. And you know I'm not going to be that way. I'm talking right here first on this, banging on this thing here. Brother North will turn me off if I tear it up. All the seeds we sow do not fall on good ground. We've already said that. If the seeds you have are bad, don't plant them. We've already said that. Wait until you have good seeds, and then plant them. Now here, the last two verses of chapter 8, that's God's covenant to the people. And I know I read it. I'm going to read it again. verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's God's covenant with us. We're part of that. We're supposed to do our part. God's working on his part all the time. I'm working on my part 50% of the time. If you talk to my wife, 25% of the time. But I'm working on it. At least it's not zero. My granddaughter's saying her grade point average was 3.6. She graduated 3.6 average. I said, mine was probably 1. I'm lucky to have that. Okay, let's get back. I got a couple more pages. In the story that we told, when that man, Noah, got off of that boat after the deluge, the first thing he did was sacrifice to God. Remember that? First thing he did. I bet he was tired of seeing water. He said, thank you, Lord. There ain't no more water. I see land. I'd have been happy too, wouldn't you, Miss Margaret? I'd have been happy to see some land after seeing all that water. I'd be wanting to obey too. And don't do that again. Well, he promised not to do that again. He's not going to do that. But still in verse 22, while the earth remains, I can't say that enough, seed time and harvest. Also, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. Same thing's going to happen for the rest of eternity. And we know day and night comes. We see that, but also the first thing on the list is not day and night. It's seed time and harvest. Day and night's going to be here always too. Winter and summer seasons are going to change, but seed time and harvest is number one on the list. It's ahead of all those others. That's why it's up there. Woo! The place where we live now will always have a need for seeds of hope to be planted for the good of all. In other words, as long as we obey, he will honor us with that nice place to live. But we got to keep planting seeds. Don't ever stop planting this word, the seeds of the word, wherever you go. You can never have a harvest, not even a little bitty one, unless you sow. This book is filled with good seeds all the way through. No matter which, you can open it up anywhere. There's probably some of them on that card there. I'm talking to myself, just like I said. But pick up the book, obey what it says to do. Go out today, plant a seed, plant lots of seeds. And I know y'all was thinking, he ain't had but one scripture, what's he got? I got another, and it's coming up. It'll always be necessary to plant God's word anywhere you go. I thought the rest of this was pretty good too, besides the scripture. So let's have a look at what Jesus said. You know Jesus? Jesus, he's the important guy. Yeah. Let's look at what he says. That's in Matthew. It's over here farther than Genesis. That's in Matthew 13. Let's get over there. This is a man talking now. Matthew 13. We better listen to him or we're going to be in lots of trouble. Okay. Matthew 13. I'm going to read starting verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground. Good ground, Brother Charlie. And yielded a crop. Says some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9. Listen to this if you don't listen to anything else. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus felt like he had to say that because most people were probably hard-headed like me, maybe. And if you just say something to somebody, they don't do it. Remember those first two people? He told them something. They didn't do it, did they? And you see what happened. The seeds we plant do fall on different kinds of ground because all people are different. And it takes different seeds, Brother Tony, you know what I'm talking about, for different people. Different seeds for different people. You can be harsh with some people. You have to be kid gloves with other people, or you don't get the seed planted in there right and it won't grow. Woo. And still in Matthew, this still in Matthew 13, let's move on down to 18. Yes, we'll explain this. Verse 18 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, if you plant seeds, you can't go wrong. Because they're going to come up. They might not all come up in the right way you want them to. They can fall on bad ground, but that's not your fault. You can work on the ground and it can still be bad. A big clay ground, you plant, try to plant something in clay. And it might come up, but it ain't going to look like it is in sandy loam soil. Your only fault would be not to plant in the first place. Because you just assumed the ground was no good, so I'm not even going to mess with it. Because it's no good. And I still got another scripture. See, I had a few scriptures. Go over to Mark. Very next book over. Mark, let's go to chapter 16 of Mark. That's the last one, isn't it? It's right at the end of it. All right. You assumed the ground was no good. Mark 16, verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11, that's Jesus. You wonder, he is in capital letter, that's Jesus. Later he appeared to the 11 as he sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, this is for everybody, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's the Great Commission. What they call the Great Commission. That's for everybody. In other words, if you plant seeds, you can never go wrong. Your job is to plant. It is your job to till the ground first. It's your job to water and nurture the seeds. Then God does the rest of the work. He'll finish the job. He'll honor your work. Your job is just to plant and obtain a harvest. And God's job is blessing everyone on the other side of that. God will always do his job. So be sure and do your job. I know y'all are going to be happy because I've got one more scripture and then I'm through. Let's go back to Matthew. We're backtracking now. Matthew chapter 12. All right. I like to read out of this. I started to put it down here so I could read it, but I like turning the pages. It sounds good, and I just like it better than... So that's why we're doing it. That's why I'm doing it. 12, starting, let's see, 30, 35. A tree is known by its fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's pretty rough. That's what God says, though, just like he said in the beginning. Don't touch that fruit. That's what he meant. This is what he means right here. You will be judged for every seed that you plant. So my last sentence says, plant good seeds. Amen. Thank y'all for listening. I appreciate y'all. I love every one of you. It was a pleasure to bring the word to you tonight. And now I want to pray, if that's all right. I won't be long, 30 minutes maybe or so. I can't pray that long at home. I can't pray. I might be asleep and do it. But I want you to pray with me. Let's pray about planting the seeds. It's what our job is, what our main job is, I think. Because that's in everything that we do, is planting seeds. Every time we open our mouth, planting seeds. So you don't want to open your mouth and a bunch of bad seeds come out and get all over somebody. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to hear your word, oh God. We thank you that you give us the opportunity every day, Lord, to plant the seeds of the gospel on people that we meet, oh Lord. We thank you that we will have the good sense, oh Lord, to go in your behalf, oh God, and plant. Plant for the harvest, because the harvest is ready. The harvest is white, as the word says. It's ready to be taken. We still need to plant more seeds. We need to plant and we need to harvest continually. Your word says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Lord, let us be faithful servants to your word and do as you speak every day. Bless us, Lord, as we leave this place. Bring us back together again Sunday for a fabulous service, oh God. We thank you for your blessings to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.